Well, it's one of the things that I want to ask lawyer extraordinaire Jeff O'Brien when he joins us in studio, who is in the booth right now with Sam, and not surprisingly, dressed like one of the members of KISS.
Happy Halloween, Jeff.
Peter, I think it's odd you chose Peter Criss, but still, I'm glad you got dressed up. No, and this is the question that I want to ask Jeff is... Sure, we can bring him in.
Come on in.
Which is it an indication of? Is this... Do you which way is more likely? Is it more likely, as I stretch out my question until he goes and joins us in studio? Good morning, Jeff O'Brien, who's dressed like a lawyer, not dressed like a member of KISS. So while you get yourself comfortable, I'll pose to you this question: is it more likely that these indictments would be an indication that this is the biggest thing that they have? Or is it more likely that this is just the beginning of more indictments coming down the road? Or is there virtually no way to tell?
Well, I think that it could be a little bit of both. I mean, certainly the Manafort indictment, that was kind of a long time in the making. This is a guy, like you said, has been, I think, under investigation or surveillance by the FBI since, you know, back to 2013, 2014, almost since Mueller was the FBI director. I mean, this has been discussed for a long time, his overseas dealings and, you know, working with different, particularly with Ukraine in this campaign. So that one doesn't, you know, excite me as much as the Papadopoulos one. There may be a strategy there. Let's see if we can pull this thread and find if there's, I mean, it may be that at this point that this is as much as Mueller has found related ties to Trump, the Trump campaign and Russia. So let's see if I pull this thread, if I can get anything. So that you're right. You mentioned before about would they, you know, if Papadopoulos is facing, you know, serious time, would they get him to roll and you know, give up any information he has? Whether or not he has any, I think is a matter of speculation. I think also the risk here with Trump is, and remember, go back to like Watergate. Nixon wasn't involved in the break-in and didn't have any dealings with it, but it was his covering it up and all the everything that he did in the aftermath. And so I think the president needs to, to put it bluntly, shut up on Twitter about this. I think he just needs to let the investigation take its course, because if this is, you know, as much as they have at this point, you know, he'd be best served by just staying out of it.
Well, unless he knows, and he would be the one to know, that he honestly didn't know, had no involvement whatsoever, and therefore if he goes on Twitter and puts those things out there, he knows that there's no way it can come back and get him.
I suppose, just from a legal standpoint.
Twitter isn't testimony.
Yeah, but from a legal standpoint, it makes me uncomfortable. I mean, if he is at some point the subject of the investigation, you know, he's putting out statements out there that could be used against him. I don't like that he's. If I'm his private lawyer, I tell him just to, you know, don't talk about it. Just stop discussing.
No, it gives us show content. It gives us don't be rational about this. 651-989-5855. There's more to this to the comments of Greg Jarrett from this Fox News article that we want to get into, especially when it comes down to what exactly Mueller is tasked with doing and whether or not the crime that he's looking for even exists in law. It doesn't. That's your preview.
Yeah.
651. Yeah. 989-5855. Drew, I do believe that we do have an opportunity for somebody to get a grand in their hand coming up, right?
In about 7 minutes or so, we're going to give you out a keyword that you're going to text to 200-200. Everybody that texts that keyword is going to be entered into a drawing for $1,000. Plus, after the show today, we are going to pick our Tim Hortons winner for this week. If you want to be entered into that, just tweet at us or just tweet using the hashtag Tim Hortons TCNT. Everybody who uses that hashtag will draw after the show, and we might choose you to deliver some tasty Tim Hortons coffee and Timbits on Thursday. More with lawyer extraordinaire Jeff O'Brien right after this.
Broadcasting on AM 1130, 103.5 FM, 100.3 HD2, and worldwide on iHeartRadio. This is the Twin Cities News Talk Station, KTLK AM. Many.
It's gonna be like this all morning long. I'll be like, I know it's a Halloween song of some sort. I'm just not exactly sure.
I'm really enjoying John's facial expressions every time the bumper music starts. I don't recognize. Oh, now I recognize it.
I think every time one pops up that I don't know, Sam, I should come back with Twin Cities News Talk.
No.
No! God, please, no! No!
Before we get back to all the indictments here on Justice and Drew, along with Sam and lawyer extraordinaire Jeff O'Brien, we started the show off talking about sort of the quintessential Halloween, and I forgot one of the best ways to sort of get your Halloween on, especially viewing, Great Pumpkin Charlie Brown, that's besides the point. But watching sitcoms where they celebrate Halloween. The Halloween episode, the sitcoms.
I missed that. Not enough shows do that anymore. The special Halloween episode. I remember Cheers always used to do something spooky on Halloween. I loved that.
Did Friends ever do?
I don't.
Sam, do you remember any Friends episodes that were based around Halloween? Like, I know the Christmas.
Yes. The one with the Halloween party.
Which one?
Yeah, when Ross is the Spudnik.
Oh, that's right. Okay, so they
did. Monica and Chandler have a costume party.
You know what? Famous sitcom never did anything, unless you correct me. Anything holiday related at all? Seinfeld.
Yeah, I don't think so.
I don't think they ever did a Christmas or a Thanksgiving or a Halloween.
Yeah, I don't recall that.
The Office. I mean, The Office is great.
The Office had great Halloween episodes. Current show, Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Fantastic. Those would be fun to watch in succession.
Yeah.
Because the same thing happens in every single one.
Yeah.
They have this contest that they have to do.
If you ever want unintentional Halloween comedy, go out and get the made-for-TV movie Kiss Meets the Phantom of the Park that was released on Halloween 1978.
That's right.
Sort of started the downward spiral of phase one of Kiss.
That's good cheese right there.
That's a lot of cheese.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, getting back to all the indictments, Greg Jarrett, and just another point out of this, because there's other articles to get to here, but still no evidence of Trump-Russia collusion, but Hillary is a different matter. He writes in here, Georgia Papadopoulos pled guilty to a single charge of making a false statement to the FBI. He was not charged with so-called collusion because no such crime exists in American statutory law except in antitrust matters. It has no application to elections or political campaigns. It is not a crime to talk to a Russian. Or, in Papadopoulos' case, attempting to talk with a Russian through an intermediary. Not that the media would ever understand that. They've never managed to point to a single statute that makes colluding with a foreign government in a political campaign a crime, likely because it doesn't exist in criminal codes. And this is the point. To put it plainly, Mueller is tasked with finding a crime that does not exist in the law. It is a legal impossibility. He's being asked to do something that is manifestly unattainable.
And that hasn't stopped him.
Of course not.
That hasn't stopped him from accusing Donald Trump Jr. of illegally conspiring with the Russians when he met with a Russian lawyer to obtain information on Hillary Clinton. What law did he break? None. The Federal Election Commission has made it clear that it is perfectly lawful for foreign nationals to be involved in campaigns as long as they are not paid and do not donate money. And then that circles back to Hillary Clinton when you start looking
right at
the money aspect and who actually had a relationship with Russians that benefited financially from that relationship.
Yeah, you have to wonder, you know, I know and I understand that Tony Podesta, the brother of Hillary Clinton's campaign manager, John Podesta, is also under investigation by by Mueller and his crew. And he was somehow involved with this Ukraine campaign that Manafort was involved with. So they may tag one from both sides on this Ukraine stuff in terms of, you know, in Manafort's largely, you know, failure to report, you know, pay taxes. He's got his money stashed off in someplace else. And, to me, this whole investigation from the beginning has been about trying to somehow show that Russia somehow swayed the election. So I guess so that Trump's opponents can say that, you know, this isn't he's not legitimate.
Right.
Russia did it.
That's how this all started.
A political investigation than it is a criminal investigation. And right now, the Manafort indictment, which, again, it's an indictment. It's like a bringing a complaint against somebody. This would still have to, if he's, you know, he pled not guilty, this would still have to go through a full trial if he doesn't plea bargain. So this doesn't, the indictment just means, you know, charge, you know, he's been charged.
He's been accused of something.
They have to prove the case. With Papadopoulos, he actually did plead guilty. But we've gone through this in previous investigations that, you know, some things like, you know, Whitewater. You had the McDougals that got, actually went to jail and never turned on the Clintons. So if this is, if the thought is that Papadopoulos is, or everybody's thinking that this guy is going to somehow just, you know, sing, well, number one, he may not have anything to, he may not have a song to sing.
Right.
And number two, he may not be willing, he may not actually do that. So, you know, we'll see where it goes, but you're right. You know, in terms of, collaborate, don't use the word colluding, collaborating with foreign nationals. This, some of this is far closer to this Uranium One issue than it is to anything that happened with the Trump campaign last year.
Well, and that's what it's going to be interesting to see whether or not that when you talk about pulling threads, whether or not it takes a turn. I mean, when you look at where Mueller landed with Manafort and Gates, to a lesser extent with Papadopoulos, because that's more sort of closer to where they were, what they were originally tasked to do. But when you look at where they landed with Manafort and with Gates, it does sort of raise the question of, okay, if you landed there with them, are you going to land on Clinton? Are you going to land on the DNC? Are you going to land on Uranium One? Will it take you down that path?
Yeah, and that's why I think a lot of people have problems with these, you call it independent prosecutors, special prosecutor, whatever it is you get these large, broad mandates and it becomes a fishing expedition. I mean, you look at the Whitewater investigation in the early to mid-90s, that started out as a failed Arkansas land deal and ended with President Clinton being charged with one count of perjury for lying about his relationship with Monica Lewinsky under oath. I mean, that's a stretch.
Right.
But these things go on and on and on and on until,
and there's a lot of pressure on these special investigators to produce a head.
Right.
At some point.
Right. And in my personal opinion, if the heads that are produced are Paul Manafort and Tony Podesta for lobbying on behalf of foreign governments, then fine.
Sure.
A lot of us kind of like, why in the world would you ever do something like that? Lobby the U.S. on behalf of a foreign government. And you're talking about draining the swamp. I mean, this is the epitome of the swamp. I'm now going to be a lobbyist for other countries.
Is it just because how open-ended they are? I understand. Like in this case, they weren't. Arguably, when it comes to these special investigations, these special prosecutors, they arguably weren't going at it very long before landing on these indictments.
Right.
When you look at the grand scheme of things, but is it because they're so open ended that there's not enough specificity when they are tasked with a job to find an endpoint that they do end up going on and they do end up finding these things?
Yes. Yes, I mean, you're talking with, you know, Washington insiders. I mean, what was, you know, this could be, you know, they can make a career out of these things.
Well, what's a better way to do it then? Because, I mean, to me, what's more interesting about what we're talking about at the moment, because when you take just Manafort and Gates, it's kind of boring. You're just looking, you know, I mean, we can talk about that coming up. When you strip all the politics and Trump out of it, you know, you're just, nobody would care for the most part. This wouldn't be news if it wasn't for all of that. But to me, what's more interesting are these special prosecutors, these investigations, and why they end up, why we task them with this. And is there a better way to get to what we want to get to find out rather than having to put these guys on the trail?
I don't think so. I think it is what it is. As long as we have, you know, multiple political parties and rather than that you're going to have these allegations from time to time and someone has to investigate them. And I think this route certainly is preferable to, say, the old independent prosecutor law, where they were just basically an island unto themselves. Where here, I mean, at some point, if it reaches where if he's just, you know, if there's nothing found, you know, the Department of Justice could say at some point, okay, enough, appointment over. You're not getting anything. You've turned over all the stones, and you have
somebody else has to stop them.
Yeah,
right. Yeah, I mean, and that's when that happens, though. You know, the Democrats will cry foul. Oh, you know.
They're gonna cry foul for any reason if it doesn't yield the result they want. So I mean, it's. And the other side does it too when it's the other party that's being investigated.
Can you stick around for a little bit longer?
Sure.
All right, Jeff O'Brien, lawyer extraordinaire, hanging out covering all the indictments.
Right. All of it.
All the indictments.
Also, a little bit later on in the hour, you don't want to miss this. There's a Washington Post editorial that was reprinted in the Star Tribune this morning about this very issue and Trump's fake news claim. It is the most amazing piece of literature that we're going to talk about all morning long.
Justice.
Win a pair of advanced screening passes to Last Flag Flying, starring Steve Carell at AMC Southdale on November 15th. You can register at TwinCitiesNewsTalk.com, keyword contest.
I'm losing some, I'm taking it from myself, a little bit of pop culture cred. Got to hold myself accountable. Welcome back
yeah,
to Justice
are.
And Drew along with Sam.
I'm not impressed.
You don't even know what I'm talking about. What am I talking about?
I just figured it had to do with the Halloween themes.
Friend of the show, Eric, pointed out Seinfeld had Festivus. And we're talking about holidays.
They did, yeah.
It wasn't Christmas, Thanksgiving, or Halloween, but...
That was their holiday.
That was their holiday, yeah. Was Festivus.
And it seems like it was an intentional choice not to do Halloween episodes, not to do Christmas episodes, not to fall into those sort of tropes that every sitcom fell into. In exchange for that, they came up with the Festivus idea, which was brilliant.
Lawyer extraordinaire Jeff O'Brien joins us in studio. Pose it this way. Okay. So say we came to you with the story of Jerry, the guy that was an attorney that got fired from his job and found out that he had committed some type of fraud before he got hired at that firm. And these are all the charges that Jerry and his buddy Larry got leveled. And we wanted to bring you on the show to talk about them. Would you be interested at all in discussing that?
That's a good analogy. That's a good analogy.
Is there anything interesting about these indictments of Manafort and Gates if you strip away everything that makes it interesting?
As it pertains to Donald Trump, right?
Whoever made the decision to hire them as part of the campaign, knowing that these stories were already out there that he had done, you know, and it was out there when they hired him about, you know, the ties with the stuff he did over in Russia and Ukraine. So, but, you know, he also came with a track record. If I recall correctly, I think he was a higher up in Bob Dole's campaign back in 1996. So, I mean, this is a guy who floated around Republican circles for a long time. But no, if it's something that it happens, so, you know, if you're talking about, you know, something that happened, you know, a decade or so before, you know, the campaign and the investigation is supposed to be focused on what happened in the 2016 election. There's not a whole lot of smoke there to become fire with Manafort.
And he was brought in. He replaced Lewandowski. Is that how that worked when we were having all the turmoil? Is that I could be wrong on that, but I mean, I remember when he was brought in, he was brought in to sort of help with the campaign on a sort of a PR level, you know, as campaign manager, but wasn't there for very long.
Right.
So he was tasked with a specific skill. I mean, I think the logic jump that the left would want to do is that, well, he was brought on because he wanted to get them with Russia, you know.
No, I think if I recall correctly, and I might be wrong here, but if I recall right, remember of all the past Republican presidential nominees still living, I think Bob Dole was the only one that didn't run to the hills after Trump secured the nomination. Mm-hmm. And I think Bob Dole gave the campaign some advice as to how to, you know, to weather things going forward. And that may be where Manafort came in, because they said he was a Dole guy. So he might have, that's maybe been where it was suggested that bring Manafort in to, you know, organize yourselves a little bit, because it's a little bit scattered. So that may have been where it came from. I don't think there was, hey, let's go get him because he's got ties with
Russia. Right.
Yeah. Well, and the truth of the matter may be that, you know, when you take a guy like Donald Trump who doesn't have the relationships, the political relationships that go back forever and ever, and he's suddenly now tasked with hiring people here or there, the number of people that he could hire that don't have some degree of corruption in their past is probably pretty small.
Very small. Yeah.
You are dealing with politicians. You're dealing with the political world. You're dealing with the swamp.
No, I think that the Manafort indictment, whatever goes forward, I think is less about trying to tie something to the election and more of this is how Mueller justifies his existence because Manafort was low-hanging fruit.
We talked with a caller earlier. I mean, this may be the first of many dominoes. It's too early to say with any degree of certainty that this is all they have and this is all they got.
Right.
Who knows what else may come.
The fact that they're also investigating Tony Podesta suggests that this is broadened beyond You know, just looking at the Trump campaign and the and Russia and the 2016 election.
And again,
and he's looking at other issues.
I think the truth of it may be Russia's got its fingers in every pot.
Yep.
And no matter who it is, what party it is, whatever, if they see, you know, an opportunity to try to get in and peddle influence and play the influence game, they don't care if it's a Democrat, they don't care if it's a Republican, they're going to go out and they're going to try to forge those relationships.
Right, and like you said before, Drew, Russia was, the whole thing was fomenting division in the country to show their people how much better they have it in Russia.
Yep. Let's go to the phones. Jason calling from Delwood. Good morning, Jason.
Yeah, good morning. I got a really similar job that throughout my career I've gone in and done things that, going in the scope or the ask is so broad, and it ends up, you know, great for me because I can make a ton of money off of it. But as time has evolved, we've gotten to the point where when we're hired in, it's a pretty specific outcome that we're shooting for,
right?
And sure, if I'm digging around and I find other things that are going on, we definitely go after those too, but it's after approval has been made to expand that scope, you know. So it's not if the goal of the special, you know, counsel or whatever was to see if there was collusion, right, then answer that question. If you find other things, great, but you need to go back and then ask the Justice Department whether or not you can pursue those things further.
Yeah,
you know?
that's a good point. I mean, I wish at this point there would be, and thanks for the call, Jason. There would be, and I don't know if it has to be in a hearing or what, but maybe you bring, you know, Mueller back in. Okay, we've got this. Is it still continuing? Yes. Have you found any evidence yet of what we tasked you with? No, I haven't. Okay, you know, sort of like almost a reset. Do a reset button on the whole thing.
Well, and the interesting thing too is the I think it was in the Wall Street Journal yesterday, talking about the Devin Nunes or Edwin Nunes committee in the House,
right,
going through its own investigation, which is
with the uranium one.
Exactly. So there is a little bit, in my opinion, there is a little bit of a check on Mueller in this congressional committee that, you know, Mueller is going to look bias if he's going to go broader than just looking at, you know, than just the issues of collusion. I think that if he doesn't overturn some of these other stones, I think it you question the independence of his investigation.
And in two things, one on perception, when it comes to whether or not Mueller, or however you pronounce it, I've heard it pronounced so many different ways. When it comes to whether or not this is an indication of just a first indictment, more coming, or this is all they found, we look at things and we analyze things through such a storyline, movie, TV show mind that it's our nature. So, depending on where you fall, you want to go, oh, there's investigation. Oh, we're waiting for the end point, and there's an indictment, and you think this is going to be the big finale, is going to lock everybody up, and it turns out, reality doesn't go and work that way.
I think it was on CNN yesterday. There was a University of Texas law professor said, you know, this is too early to tell if this is the appetizer or the main course.
Right. The other thing is and we need to let you go there, Jeff. But the Democrats desperately want to run the 2018 midterm elections on get us in and we'll impeach Trump.
Right,
and they're looking for any evidence of being able to. It's going to be a losing argument, they're looking for any argument to make that.
This is the 3,297th time that they've got him. And I'm looking forward to the next 3,000.
Well, you know, that was at the end of the Whitewater investigation. The Republicans did impeach President Clinton, and that didn't work out too well for them in the next election.
Nope,
it didn't. Yeah. Thanks for hanging out, Jeff O'Brien, lawyer extraordinaire. Always a pleasure.
Thanks, guys.
Appreciate you giving us some time this morning.